I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes and often slip. Just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just why I say I'm of a special kind. For when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And he knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine. So unworthy of such mercy, yet when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. The look of love was on his face, the thorns on his head. The blood was on that scarlet robe and stained a crimson red. Though his eyes were on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time. And when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And he knew me, yet he loved me. And he whose glory makes the heavens shine. So unworthy of such mercy, yet when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Yet when he was on the cross, I was on his mind.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you, Mrs. Jones, and praise God. You say, what was on Jesus' mind when he was being strung up, suspended between heaven and earth, nailed to a cross? You. That's why he was there, because of you. He became sin for us, and there took upon himself all the sins of the whole world. And you know what he did? It was judged once for all. That's the reason once you get born again, you're saved once for all. Because there was only one price to be paid, and that price has already been paid. Glory to God. Take your Bible, Psalm chapter 3, if you would, please. Psalm chapter number 3. We're going to read all 8 verses of this short psalm, and then I'm going to draw your attention back to our text verse, which will be verse number 3. Psalm chapter number 3, and we're going to read the 8 verses of this psalm. Let's stand together out of love and respect for the Word of God. Psalm chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. Selah, which means meditate on that. Think on that verse. He says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah, we need to think on that verse too. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Now I want you to go back, if you would, to verse number 3. And if you'll notice in verse 2, the scripture said there will be some that will say there is no help for him in God. He says, but thou. There's your answer right there. For people who say that person is hopeless, that person is helpless. Let me stop and just say this. There may become a point in your life to where you feel helpless, but you're never hopeless. You may feel a condition of helplessness, but let me say to you, you're never hopeless. He says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory. And here's what I want to focus on this morning. He says, and the lifter up of mine head. The lifter up of mine head. I want to take that phrase right there and speak to you this morning on this subject. Get your head up. Get your head up. Father, bless us now. Thank you for the privilege of coming to church. Teach us, we pray now, from the Scriptures. And we'll certainly give all the praise and glory to Jesus, for it's in His name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. You ever notice how many people walk with their head down? You ever notice that? When you're out in public? I'm talking about literally looking at the ground, where they don't have to look at anybody as they're walking. Now, usually those that I see that usually are got their head down or they're hanging their head usually have a solemn countenance, or they have an expression on their face of despair, or they are confused or are troubled about something many times. Some people just walk with their head down just because they don't want to make eye contact with people. I noticed here just recently some of the athletic teams, particularly some of the professional athletic teams that lose a big game like some lost yesterday. Did you notice how many of them had their head down? You notice how many of them were hanging their head because of defeat? Because they felt helpless? Because they felt that, you know what, we've worked all year, we've gone to training camp, we've done all of these things, and they were walked off the field with their head down. Remember back during the World Series? Remember our Texas Rangers? Boy, we were really close. Two pitches. Two. But you know who walked off the field? I watched them when they walked off the field. You know how they walked off? With their head down. They walked off as though the light, listen, that nothing else in the world mattered except that game. I've also seen this happen with students that make a subpar grade on a test that they studied for, and they made a bad grade. You know what? As soon as they get their paper, you ever watch how they do? The teacher will lay their paper face down, and they'll go. Next thing you see is if it's a bad grade, they're like. Students do that. Children do that when they get scolded. When they get corrected, you know what they do? Many of them hang their head. Sometimes husband and wives who have just been engaged in a quarrel and maybe some hurtful things were said, you know what they do? They hang their head. Maybe a man or woman just lost their job. They hang their head. A person who's received discouraging news maybe about their health condition, many times hang their head. Now listen, I could go on and on, but this is just a brief list, church, this morning, of people and tendencies that we have when situations come that cause us to drop our head. But may I say to you this morning, I'd like to point out this morning also that there are too many of God's people that are walking around with their head down. Can I say to you this morning, if you're a child of God, get your head up! We can't be walking around life with our head down, looking at the ground, acting like we're defeated all the time. You say, well, it's so difficult, preacher. But listen, folks, if you're a child of God, I've read the Scriptures. Look at what you have to look forward to. Look at what you will inherit. Look at what God has planned for the child of God. That in itself ought to get our head up. looking at what God has for us in the future. Too many of God's children are expressing a fallen countenance of despair and helplessness, never giving the expression that the Christian life is a joyful life. You see, I want you to get your head up, but get your head up with a smile on your face. Listen, every one of us, if we all we looked at was our circumstances, we'd all have our head down. But if, as a child of God, if we'll just look at what we have in the future and what we have access to. Do you know, as a child of God, I can come boldly before the throne of God this morning. I don't have to go through anybody. I can go straight to the throne this morning because of Jesus Christ. I'm saying if you're a child of God this morning, get your head up. A lot of God's people are hanging their head this morning because of sin's victory in their life. Hey, we're all going to fall sometimes. We're all going to, sin's going to come upon us, and we're all going to stump our toe or can't get over a hurdle and fall down from time to time. But you know, the scripture says a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. You know why? Because he's a child of God. Because he has something to look forward to. God doesn't want his people walking around with their head down. He wants us to walk with our head up. Yes, sin is in the world. Yes, it may be a difficult society. You say, but how, preacher, when sin is so tough and I fall down so many times, what am I supposed to do? You do what the Bible says do. You say, what's that? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just, listen now, to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from, help me out now, all unrighteousness. Glory to God. You know what that what happens? You may have your head down temporarily, but you go and claim 1 John 1:9, that'll get your head back up. That'll get your head back up, realizing that I am forgiven and that I got a God in heaven that's for me. Too many of God's people walk around because maybe of a failure in times past. Listen, if that's in times past and you've been saved, look to the future. Look to the future. That's all been forgiven under the precious shed blood of Christ. Sometimes God's people are hanging their head because of bad decisions of others that have led them to disappointment or misery. Hey, folks, you know what? We're going to have to get over it. We're going to have to get over it. You can't control what other people do. But you can control what you do. I can't control the decisions of others, but I can control mine. Some others are going to make decisions that may put me in a precarious situation or may put me in a situation that's uncomfortable. Listen, don't hang your head. Get your head up. Get your head up and realize, you know what? That's their decision. That doesn't mean I have to live that way. That doesn't mean I have to succumb to it. Get your head up. Sometimes God's people are hanging their head because of their inability to meet the requirements or the expectations of Christ. How many times have you read Scripture and you think, man, I can't ever do that? How many times have you read Scripture and say, I can't ever be an Apostle Paul? How many times have you read, I can't be a Peter, I can't be a John, I can't be an Elijah, I can't be this, I can't be that person, and I got some good news for you, get your head up. God don't expect you to be them, he expects you to be you. That's what he expects from you. He expects to be you, just like he created you. Sometimes we get sometimes our expectations are not met as far as what we want to see happen in our life, in our Christian life, and when we don't meet those expectations, people come to church, the people of God I'm talking about, with their head down. By the way, Christian, when you see other believers with their head down, you need to go try to help them get it up. Get your head up. Now, sometimes God's people hang their head because of the toils of life and the difficulties many times trying to live a Christian life, a separated life in a perverted world. You know, it can be discouraging. But you know what people are looking at you on your job? If they know you're a Christian, you know what they expect? They expect your head to be up. They expect your head to be up. They expect you to come with a positive attitude. They expect you to have a Christian, be a Christian example and live a life of joy. Too many of God's people are hanging their head because it's a preacher, it's just too difficult to live in such a perverted world, and they walk around with their head down. Sometimes God's people are hanging their head because of so much fragmenting in the church today. They say, well, preacher, there's just so many different things going on. How do I know what to believe? Stop. Time out. I'll tell you what to believe. Get your Bible and read it. Get your Bible and read it. And you know what you'll find? You'll find that in the Scriptures that the Holy Ghost of God will reveal to you what's right and what's true. Hey, I'm not against reading other books, but I'm telling you, we got to get back to the main book. We got to get back to the main book. Too many of God's people are hanging their head because of the fragmenting and things that are going on in the church. And listen, I could go on and on, but I don't want to take that time today. I'm just saying to you, listen, I understand that we're human. I understand that we're made with emotions and feelings, and I understand that sometimes we come under attack by circumstances and situations. But our psalm today, Psalm chapter 3, is believed to have been written by David about the time that his own son, Absalom, was about to come in and take over Jerusalem and dethrone him. So instead of David confronting his own son, he left. By the way, he did the ethical thing to do. He did the principal thing to do. He left. You say, but he left his kingdom and his own son came in. Yeah, you know what? And if he had stayed, Absalom would have done everything he could to try to kill his own father. But Absalom, you know, when he got counsel, what do you think about me going in there, my men going in and taking my dad? And he got counsel come back and says, oh, you better be careful. Your dad's got the heart of a lion. You might not want to go challenge old dad. Listen, my dad's 70 years old, but years ago when I was a teenager back at home, some of you teenage boys don't ever do this. Twice in my life, I challenged my mom once and challenged my dad once, but that's all it took. I challenged my dad once. I don't know, I guess I was probably 14, 15, 16 years old, about the time where you have all knowledge and wisdom in life. And you know everything. And I remember challenging my dad on an issue, and my dad's 5'6", weighed about 140 pounds. And he said, well, I tell you what, I'll put it in common day vernacular so you could. Basically what he said is, you don't want any of this. I promise you, you don't want none of this. Okay? Now, the thing about it is, I had the urge. But you know what? I'd seen my dad too many times. And my dad, you know what? He had a heart of a lion. And I thought, no, I think I'm going to back off of this. You see, David battled these types of things all of his life. This very psalm, Psalm chapter 3, is very proof of what I'm saying to you today. He could have challenged his son Absalom and probably taking his life. But he chose not to. And I'd just like to say to you today that, you know what, we have a God that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Glory to God. Hebrews 4 and verse number 15. You say, but God doesn't understand. Let me say to you, God understands what it's like to lose a loved one. Amen. Last time I checked, that was his son on the cross, right? Last time I checked, that was his son that took your sins upon himself. Last time I checked, that was his son that bore that crown of thorns, that was nailed to the cross, that was smitten, that was ridiculed. He knows what it's like to lose a loved one. Can I say he knows what it's like to be betrayed by people you love? The entire nation of Israel he had taken care of and loved them, provided for them. And you know what? They turned on him. Not just once, not twice, multiple times. God knows what it's like to be betrayed. Hey, he knows what it's like to see his bride made fun of and persecuted. Can we say something to you men today? Somebody messes your wife, they're going to get you upset. You get me upset. And can I say, God says, you mess with my church, you're going to get me upset. And there are people today that make fun and persecute the church. He understands how it feels to see his bride made fun of and persecuted. He understands how it feels to have his word ignored by those that he purchased with his own blood. That's believers. That he gives us a complete canon of scripture. He says, this is the way to live the profitable Christian life, and we ignore it. He understands what it's like to feel those things. You see, God knows that there are many people today that have their head down. But he'd like to remind us, he'd like to remind us today who he is and what he can do. He wants to remind you today of who he is and what he can do. Listen, he experienced this. David did experience this in Psalm chapter 3. Take your Bible, go back there, and let's look at a few things for just a moment. Did you notice there? He said, there is no help for him in God. Keep in mind, do you understand? There were a bunch of people that said, David, Absalom's coming in, and he's strong. He's a young man. You're an older man. There ain't no help for you in God. You better do something. There's no help for you. But look at verse 3. He says, but thou, O Lord. See, there's a big difference between David and Absalom. David followed the Lord. Absalom did not. The Lord was on David's side. He was not on Absalom's side. And he says, but thou, O Lord, regardless of what I'm being confronted with, regardless of what I'm facing, here's what I want you to look at now. He says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield. He said, you're a covering, you're a protector, you're security to me. Now, most of the people in this day would have understood what a shield is. Now, today, our soldiers don't walk around necessarily with shields anymore. But in this day, they would understand what a shield is. I understand what a shield is. And thank God for radars, right? Thank God for shields, common day shields that we have today. But a soldier in that day would have a shield. And they would use it as protection or covering from harm's way. I'm here to tell you, God says one of the reasons that we ought to have our head up, he says, I'm protecting you. I'm keeping you. I'm taking care of you. I'm feeding you. I'm clothing you. Glory to God, I'm housing you. I'm allowing you to breathe today. He said, so get your head up. See, things is circumstances. Listen, folks, as a child of God, we tend to look too horizontal and we quit looking vertical. We start looking horizontally at the problems of the day. The Lord says, you know what I am? I'm a shield to you. I'm a covering. I'm a protector. There's security in me. Hey, I thank God for the radars and all the things that we have here to protect America. Hey, I'm so naive. I'm thankful for an umbrella when I'm out in the rain. You know what? It protects me. God says, you know what? I'm an umbrella to you. I'm a radar to you. I protect you. I'm a shield. You know, that ought to get some of the people of God excited. Why? Because God's protecting me. You say, well, I don't see where he's protecting me. You know what? My wife and I were traveling yesterday. We was going down East Chase. And it was about, I guess, maybe 2 o'clock, between 2:30 yesterday afternoon. And we came to Pioneer and East Chase. And man, there were fire trucks and ambulances and police cars everywhere. And traffic was backed up. We thought, man, what is going on? We got over there, and there was a huge accident there. And somebody told me it was a concrete truck that had flipped over on top of somebody. And the thing about it is, obviously, it must have caught fire because the ground was black, the car was charred. Now, somebody was telling me this morning, I think somebody lost their life in that. But listen to me, can I say, if not for the grace of God, that could have been you? And may I say, if it's not for the grace of God this afternoon, that may be you. You see, God's a shield. He protects us. Glory to God. Hey, listen, every day I get up, I have to pinch myself and say, yeah, it's really me. Thank God that I am alive today. He's a shield to us. Notice what else the psalmist said. Look at verse 3. He says, the Lord, he said, he's a shield for me, my glory. And listen, he says, and the lifter up of mine head. The lifter up of mine head. You know, there's a lot of us here today. We get discouraged. We get disappointed. And we try and try and try all of these little things to try to get our head up, to try to lift our head. We said, oh, I just can't do it. Well, how about tapping into the source of the Holy Ghost of God? How about tapping into the Word of God? You know what? That'll get your head up. That'll get you looking in the right direction. You see, the Lord says, that David said that the Lord was the lifter up of his head. That word lift just simply means to raise from a lower to a higher position. That's the reason we need to keep looking upward. Hey, folks, life, this life he's talking about right here, that's a life of principles. That's a life of character. That's a life of ethics. He'll get you looking up in these areas of your life. Listen to me. If you're here this morning and you know not Jesus Christ, can I ask you to do something? Get your head up and look at Jesus, because he's the Savior of your soul. He's the one that died for your sins. He's the one that was buried and rose again the third day. He's the one that ascended back to the Father and now sits at the right hand of God. making intercession for us. Get your head up. He said He's the lifter up of my head. Listen, lift your head up to see Jesus as Savior. Lift your head up, child of God, and see the coming of Christ. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse 28, He says, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. You know what's going to happen to too many of God's people? The Lord's going to return and we're going to have to lift our head up. He said, no, just keep looking to the eastern sky. Just keep your head up and look for the coming of Christ. See, when everything looks like it's going down the tubes in your life, if you're a child of God, remember, lift up your head. Jesus is coming again someday. Lift up your head and see what you have to inherit. I've got a mansion. I've got a life incorruptible. I've got a body that will be immortal. I've got time with God for all eternity. I'll walk on streets of gold. I'll be with the Lord forever. Glory to God, there'll be a family reunion. Yeah. See, some of you here, you have family reunions every year, and you look forward to getting there and seeing all the folks, seeing all the people, maybe some people you've never seen before. They're your great, 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 great aunt or great, great, great uncle or nephew or whatever it may be. And well, they announce a family reunion. You think, man, I can't wait to go. Some of you go to class reunions from your high school graduation class. Isn't that exciting? Usually when we go, you know who we're normally looking for? We're looking for, oh, I wonder where Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so were that are on the front of the album. I want to see where they are. Where are they? You know, it's half the time you go, you can't even recognize people anymore. People like reunions. But I'm here to tell you, if you're a child of God today, there's going to be a reunion that far exceeds a class reunion. There's going to be a reunion that far exceeds an earthly family reunion. We need to get our head up and look toward our inheritance. Look at what else he said. Look at verse 4. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me. Now, mamas, most of the daddies are at work, but mamas call. And sometimes we'll call, and then we'll stop in the middle when finally there's a response for our children, and the very first thing normally we say when we see them is, did you not hear me? I called three times. Did you hear me? Well, you know, as a child, sometimes children have selective hearing. Now, let me address all the men today. Come on, guys, help me here now. Some of us men have selective hearing, too, when the wife has a honey-do list. Now, she may not write it down on paper, but she makes little hints and suggestions about, we need a new house. I need a new car. Say, man, them are expensive items. They're just little suggestions, little hints. You see, David said, when I cried to the Lord, you know what he did? He heard me. He heard me. He said he heard me out of his holy hill. That word, or that phrase, heard me, just means that the Lord attended to. He acknowledged David. Have you ever had to call for help when nobody was around? You ever called and called and called, and then finally you heard a response to your call? You called, and maybe you were in a situation. I remember as a little boy one time I was up in a tree. And, of course, if you're a child and you got brothers or cousins, boys, and you climb up the tree, don't expect them to help you, all right? You might as well call for the next door neighbor. Because, listen, my brothers and I, there were three of us. Now, we could beat up on each other, but don't let anybody else beat up on each other. That's when we become one right there. But when any other time and stuff, my brothers would sit there and laugh while I'm stuck in a tree. Some of you boys ever climbed a tree and you thought, man, this is simple. And then you tried to get down and you thought, man, how'd I get up? How do I get out? And your brothers are saying, jump! Jump! And I remember getting stuck up in a tree one time, and my youngest brother was there, and our next door neighbor, and I was hollering because I got up, Couldn't figure out how to get down. I was just a young guy. They didn't help me. And I hollered and hollered and hollered, and they just laughed and had a good old time. And I thought, you know what? What am I going to do? About that time, my mom, glory to God, heard my voice. And she came out. And as soon as she came out, I said, "Help has arrived." You ever been in that position where you've called and called and called and nobody was around? Can I tell you today, as a child of God, you call and call and call, you're going to get a response. Because the Lord's going to hear you. But you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to keep your head up. Keep your head up. Can I say next, look if you would, in verse 5. David said, "I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me." He said, not only did the Lord hear me, but the Lord sustained me. He kept me alive. He supports me. He said, the Lord is in total control of everything. He has all power. He's in total control. He said, I laid down my head at night to go to sleep, thinking, you know what, this may be my last night of sleep. I may wake up in His likeness. He said, but when the alarm went off the next day, I don't know, you say, did David have an alarm? Yeah. That was his alarm. He said, well, that's my alarm. But he had an alarm. Maybe the alarm went off and he woke up and he said, oh, the Lord has sustained me. The Lord has a go. It looks like the Lord's going to give me another day of life. Glory to God. Listen, if we ever get to a place to where we don't have anything to thank God about, thank God you're alive. Thank God if you have your health, you need to thank God you have your health. He said, the Lord sustained me. And look at verse 7. He says, arise, O Lord, save me. He says, the Lord rescues us from distress. He's the only source of help that's available to me when I am in distress, like David said I'm in right now. My own son is against me. My own son wants to kill me. My own son wants to take the throne. He said, the Lord will save me. The Lord is the one that's going to provide for me. You see, the thing about it is, the reason David could speak these words, church, listen to me, it's because David understood how to live a life with his head up. He's not too soon removed, if you'll remember. When he went to battle the Philistines and he came back to Ziklag, and the Amalekites had raided the city, taken the wives and children of the city and burnt the city. David's men that he had spent, his mighty men that he had spent time with, that loved him, that were his followers, you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to stone him. And the Bible said at that point, David started feeling like his head was going to drop, and he said, nope, I'll just encourage myself in the Lord. Sometimes that's what you're going to have to do, folks. You're just going to have to get the Word of God out, get on your knees, and encourage yourself in the Lord. He said, oh Lord, save me. You see, this is God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Ghost working in our lives simultaneously to bring about a positive result. Now, let me give you just some practical counsel when I'm done. Here it is. We've looked at the verses. We've seen the Bible says that the Lord is the lifter up of our head. Here's what I want to say to you, just some practical counsel. First thing I want to say is this. When your head is down, you lose sight of your purpose. When your head is down, you lose sight of your purpose. And listen, coming up through high school, I didn't play in college, but coming up through high school, I played just about every sport our school offered. If they'd offered tiddlywinks, I'd have played that. Well, I take that back. I didn't play golf. They did offer golf. I didn't play golf. Amen, Brother Sam? Okay, help me out. I've played Brother Sam, but he can tell I didn't play. Now, but I remember many times playing football and stuff, and you know, we'd go through the tackling drills. And one of the things that they teach you is when you go through the tackling drills, keep your head up so that you can see the target that you're trying to hit. Because if you go down with your head down, two things can happen. Number one, you can break your neck. Number two, they can go around you or jump over you. You don't go in with your head down, because when you go in with your head down, you lose sight of your purpose. How many times during these playoffs have you seen guys going with their head down, and you know what? They stayed down. You see the guy last night? He stayed down. Why? Went in with his head down. Pop, neck. Pfft. That's what happens. He was down. But then what happens? Then you lose your purpose. You can't see it. What you're trying to accomplish. Keep your head up. It's just simple common sense. Go, run, do God's will with your head up, not with your head down. Why? Because you lose sight of your purpose. Can I say next? When your head is down, you become very vulnerable to attack. My youngest son plays basketball. He's a point guard. And that's pretty much what he's been pretty much all his life. He's not tall enough to play down low. Man alive, can you imagine what would happen if you were 7 foot? Man, they'll pay you millions of dollars just to show up. But listen, he plays it, but they taught him, and coaches, and he's gone to various places, and they've taught him, listen, when you're, and Brother O's our basketball coach at school, listen, a point guard can't keep his head down. He's got to keep his head up. Why? So that he can see what's happening there, so he can see to make a pass. Because if you've got your head down watching yourself dribble, your peripheral is cut down, and somebody's going to take the ball from you, just like that. And say, can I say, when you walk around with your head always down, you're vulnerable to the attacks of the devil. Why? Because you got your head down, you can't look. You're not looking out. You're not looking around you at what's going on around you in life. So when you got your head down, you become very vulnerable to attack. Next, when your head is down, you cause others to hang their head. Did you notice these teams yesterday that lost? You know who they were looking to? They were looking to the head guy. If he hung his head, you know what they did? But if they kept his head up, they kept their head up. Now listen, if the coach dropped his head, everybody else dropped their head. If the coach is up, heads up, most everybody else. Why? Because people are watching. And if we drop our head and can keep our head down, it affects other people, and then they hang their head. You see, head hanging's really contagious. By the way, just like the joy of the Lord's really contagious. Just like fellowship's really contagious. Just like serving God and saying amen and reading the Word of God, it's contagious. But when you drop your head, you cause others to drop their head. And then let me say last, when you drop your head and your head's down, you can't see the face of God. When your head's down, you can't see the face of God. You see, God wants us to keep our head up so that we can see Him constantly. Listen, I believe when Peter was in the boat and he saw Jesus walking on the water and he says, Lord, is that you? Yes. Then if it is, bid me come to thee. He said, all right, come on. If you'll notice, Peter stepped out of the boat and walked as long as he made contact with Jesus. And listen, the moment he looked down, the moment he dropped his head, somebody help me now, what happened? He began to sink. But glory to God, because we have a loving God and a graceful God, the Lord reached out and got him. You say, preacher, I think my head's down. Listen, don't be discouraged. The Lord's going to get you. He's there. Just reach out your hand today. So what I'm saying to you, listen, get your head up and see that God wants you to be saved if you're not this morning. He wants you to be a child of God. God wants to use you in service. If you're a child of God this morning, He wants to use you in the overall ministry and service of God. And God wants to see. God wants you to see what's in store. Hey, folks, let's not get our head down, and let's get our head up so that we can see what God's got in store for us. You see, I can't see what's around the corner, but the Lord can. I don't hold tomorrow, but the Lord does. I don't know what's going to happen this afternoon, but the Lord does. That's the reason that He wants us to get our head up. Some of us this morning, you came to church with your head down. The Lord wants to lift it up. Some of you came with your head down because you don't know Jesus. And if you don't know the Lord this morning, you never had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. Let me say something to you this morning. You come on this morning, the Lord's going to lift your head up before you leave today. Maybe you're here this morning, you've been discouraged. Maybe somebody else has made decisions that have affected you and really got you disappointed or discouraged. Can I say to you, you come this morning, kneel at this altar. You know what God will do? He'll lift your head up this morning. Maybe you've got financial needs. God wants to lift your head up. Maybe you've got personal or marital needs or whatever they are. You come this morning and God will lift your head up. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Who can say, preacher, I'm a child of God. I've been born into the family of God. I know it. No question about it. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. That's me. I know it. I've been born into the family of God. I'm a child of God, preacher. I know it. No question about it. All right? Wonderful. You put your hands down. The Father, I just simply come to you this morning in the name and the power of Jesus and ask you to have your will and way in our lives. Lord, this invitation is so critical to so many because there are some who came this morning with their head down, with their head dropped, looking down, Lord, because of discouragement. Maybe they don't even know, Lord, where they're going to spend eternity. Today can be that day. If they'll come, someone will show them out of the Bible how to be born into the family of God, how to become a child of God and get their head lifted up to see what God has in store for them. Some are children of God that have their head down because they've fallen. Maybe some of this morning feel like they're in a quicksand of sin. And Lord, I pray that they would come this morning, confess their sin, get right with God at these altars and make it right with you. And then, Father, they'll walk away from this altar this morning with their head lifted up. Some, Lord, are going through job situations. Some are going through financial situations. Some have family issues. Lord God, draw them like a magnet to the altar this morning. And if they'll come and clear their heart and mind of all things this morning, you'll lift their head up and show them the answer to their problem and to their need. Now, whatever the need is, you take control now, Lord. And with heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking but me. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. I came this morning, I had my head down, because I just don't know in heart and soul and spirit that I'm born again. But preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell, I want to go to heaven. And you'd say, preacher, would you pray for me? I just don't know that. I have some doubt about my eternal destiny. Nobody's looking but me. Would you let me pray for you so that I might know who I'm praying for? Would you signify that by just slipping your hand up? Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. God bless you. And you who will join these two, you can put your hands down. Who will join these two and say, preacher, that's me. That's me. I don't know for sure that I've been born into the family of God. Would you pray for me? God bless you. You can put your hand down. Who will join these two? Anybody else? Anybody else? Maybe you're here this morning and say, preacher, I've already been saved. I'm a Christian. But I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Would you pray for me? I need to take care of that bit of business for God. Pray that I'll be obedient to Him. Won't you slip your hand up? Say, that's me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Say, I've already been saved, preacher. Never been baptized after I got saved. God bless you. One, two, three, four. Who joined these four that raised their hand? Anybody else? Say, preacher, I've already been saved. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Who will join these five? Who will join these five? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, maybe you're a Christian here this morning. You say, preacher, circumstances of life, maybe it's your job, maybe it's finances, maybe it's just issues of life. And you say, preacher, I've kind of dropped my head. I kind of been living my Christian life looking down and not looking up at what God has for me, what service God has for me, how God wants to use me. You say, preacher, I need prayer. I kind of dropped my head in my service, kind of dropped my head in my Christianity, kind of dropped my head in my family life and not doing what I need to do in my family. Be honest before God. We're in church. Be honest. You say, preacher, pray for me. That's me. Slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. I've kind of dropped my head in my service for God, kind of lost focus on some things. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, I'm just going to ask that you take control of this invitation. Some this morning, Lord God, may feel that this is your will to be a part of Trinity Baptist Church. Some this morning, Lord, may feel that it is definitely your will that they be saved. You want them saved. And I pray that those that raise their hand would come. Some this morning, Lord, it is your will that they be baptized now that they're a Christian. And I pray that they would come. And that, Lord God, that you'd speak to their heart. Holy Spirit of God, take control and convict hearts this morning where conviction needs to take place. And then, Lord, there were a whole slew of hands of the people of God that's kind of dropped their head in their service for thee. And Father, whatever it may be, maybe it's ministry. Maybe it's a place and submission in the home. Maybe it's a teenager, Lord, that hasn't been the type of teenager. Maybe it's a child that hasn't been the type of child that they need to be in honoring their mother and their father. Maybe it's not been a good employee. Whatever the case may be, Lord, a lot of your people came with their head down today. I pray that they would come and that you'd lift their head up like you promised that you would, just like you did David with all the circumstances that he faced. Now bless now, I pray, this invitation as we sing together, Lord. Spirit of God, move in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me? And as we stand together, I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix if he'll begin to sing. Come on now. If you raise your hand, this is your opportunity. You come. You come. Don't pass it up. Don't pass it up. You say, preacher, I kind of dropped my head in some of my Christian life, in some of the areas. You come. If you raise your hand, say, preacher, I need to be saved. You come on. Don't be afraid. This is your opportunity. God's for you. God wants you to be saved. Don't pass up the opportunity. You come on. Come on.
Turn your eyes.
Some of you have already been saved, need to be baptized. You come on. This is your opportunity. Hey, God sent you here this morning on purpose. He sent you here on purpose. Take advantage of the opportunity that you have.
In the light of His glory.
You come on. You come on. The altars are filled. You come on. Join them.
Into life ever.